and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Kendra Petroni, and today I am so excited to have Emmy Award-winning actress and best-selling author Patricia Heaton on Exceptional Women, known for her starring role as Deborah Barone on Everybody Loves Raymond and as Frankie Heck on The Middle, and as Dr. Carol Kenny on the CBS sitcom Carol's Second Act. Patricia Heaton has exemplified what it means to persevere in Hollywood in her new book, Your Second Act. She shares wisdom and insight from her experience as the mother of four grown boys and what the second act means for many women and mothers experiencing the next chapter in their lives. Patricia, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I have to tell you, my husband is home in the morning. He's a police officer. He works the third shift, so he's home with the kids while I'm here at the radio station. And he was so excited that I was talking to you today. He sent me like four different screenshots of you in like three different TV shows at the same time. You are such a favorite in my house. And I just have to start out by asking, you know, how have you been doing during this, you know, crazy, strange quarantining time being at home?
Well, when the pandemic hit, I was in Oklahoma City producing a movie that my husband was directing. I wasn't acting. And we were sitting in a restaurant after taping all day, filming all day. And we got this news that this basketball player named Rudy Gobert had contracted the virus. Now, he was the guy that was on camera touching all the microphones, making fun of the virus. Well, he was staying in our hotel in Oklahoma City when we heard that news. And so they had to evacuate the hotel. We all had to move to another hotel. And then we had to shut down the movie with 5 days left. That was, you know, really a tough thing to deal with. But we all came back home. Two of my sons were working on the movie with us, so they came back home. Another one came back home. So I had three boys coming back, three out of the four. So I went from empty nester to mom again. And it's been actually okay, because here in Los Angeles, you know, we have wonderful year-round weather. We have, most of us have a yard with some kind of pool. And I don't think we felt like the impact of the pandemic the way it's been felt in a place like New York City. I mean, as an actor, you tend to go on hiatus over the summer months. You know, you'll film from like August until March, and then you have time off. So for me, it felt more like an extended hiatus. We do a lot of hiking and swimming and, you know, just hanging out. So it hasn't been as impactful for me as I think it's been for many other people.
It's so funny. You've been in my living room for like 30 years. You're one of the few, you know, that have managed to go back to back with amazing hit TV shows. But one of my favorite roles that you played, and this was one of the reasons I was so excited to talk to you today, was in Beethoven. You played, I think it was like the snobby air freshener colleague of Charles Grodin, right? Weren't you like the colleague or something with the big nose and the air freshener thing? Looking back at roles like that, it's so funny to see you playing that kind of a role compared to what you did the next, you know, 20 years on television. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, that character was a lot of fun. David Duchovny was playing my husband in that. It was a really fun movie. Charles Grodin was terrific to work with, and Bonnie Hunt, who's terrific. That's the fun of this business, being able to do all those different kinds of roles. But I am very blessed to have had the opportunity to play Deborah Barone and Frankie Heck, you know, two moms in different stages of their life. So when I was playing Deborah, I also had children that were the age that the Barone kids were. And likewise with Frankie Heck in the middle, my kids were all teens and we were worrying about school and college and all that kind of stuff. So it's been, really a wonderful journey.
What's the secret to that? Because I feel like with actors, it's completely hit or miss, and you stroke it perfectly like three times in a row. I mean, how did you do that? Is there a secret to it? I mean, was it, it's baffling to me.
Yeah, no, I've just been fortunate. I saw in the pilot script of Raymond and the pilot script of The Middle, I immediately recognized the quality of the writing. They really stood out. Now, that could be great and you can have a wonderful cast, but then it just depends on your time slot, whether it's going to catch on and how much the network is going to promote it. So, you know, you don't really have much control. And it's interesting because things I thought were just a surefire hit. Between Raymond and The Middle, I had a show called Back to You with Kelsey Grammer. Had an amazing cast with Josh Gad and Ty Burrell, Modern Family.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, it didn't work. I mean, it was canceled after the writer's strike. So when you think, oh, this show's going to run forever. And, you know, so you just don't know. I feel like just blessed. I feel like God has really just handed me these beautiful projects because I had nothing to do with coming across them. You know, your agent sends you a script and, you know, you see it's good. You hope you get the job and then you hope it runs for a while. But all those things are out of your control. So I've just been very, very blessed. And I'm certainly very grateful to have been a part of both of those shows.
It's funny when I think back to TV, I'm 38 years old and I remember always sitting down Thursday or Friday nights with my family watching television shows. And I'll be honest, Everybody Loves Raymond was one of those shows that my whole family, I mean, I have two younger brothers and we fought all the time. It was like the one time that we all kind of got together and didn't yell at each other. We weren't poking each other and we would sit and watch the show as a family. Do you think shows like that and moments like that are a dying breed, or do you think those comfort classics will always be around? They just have to sort of reinvent themselves.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. There's so much more available now because of streaming services, Netflix, Apple, Amazon, Hulu. So, you know, there's so much to choose from. It's hard to sort of get your show up above everything, get noticed now. It's harder now than it was before. But I certainly feel that, you know, Raymond and The Middle will continue on just the way when I was growing up, The Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
That was still around, right? And
yep.
I was little when I watched it, and I didn't understand it, but I knew it was funny. And my show watching that I watched all the time growing up was The Mary Tyler Moore Show. And I loved those characters. I knew that show was very funny. And, you know, what's so wonderful about our business is the sort of kismet that can happen. You know, to watch The Mary Tyler Moore Show and be so such a fan of hers, and then to get an Emmy from her.
Mm-hmm.
Years later,
I was going to say that, yeah.
Have it sent by her. It's so exciting. Or also, Georgette on The Mary Tyler Moore Show played Robert's mother-in-law on Everybody Loves Raymond. And so, you know, to be able to work with people that you've admired all your life. Dick Van Dyke played my uncle on The Middle. And I remember going to see him in Mary Poppins when I was in the second grade. And to flash forward, to be sitting next to him in a makeup chair, we were playing Name That Tune. So I would bring up movie themes and make him guess what movie it was from. And, you know, part of me was just having this fun contest with Dick Van Dyke sitting next to me. And this other part of me was observing it going, I can't believe I'm sitting with Dick Van Dyke.
I bet.
Seeing him in Mary Poppins when I was in the second grade. So, I mean, it's just really, this business can be very difficult, but it also can be quite magical.
What do your kids think of your career and what you've done? Because I have three young children under the age of 10, and I could not be more annoying to them at every turn and step that I take. It's like, get away from me. You're embarrassing me with the eye roll. But are your kids, what do they think of your career and what you've been able to do?
Well, if you walked into my house, you would not know there were any actors. I mean, we don't have paraphernalia and memorabilia of any showbiz stuff in the house. I have one small office space back in the corner that's my little ego room that you walk into and say, oh, somebody
like
in the house
that.
Is showbiz. Because I've always felt that, you know, kids of famous actors have a more difficult time because it's hard for them to forge their own identity because their parents' identity is so huge and so out, you know, in the world there, that it's hard for them. And so I did try to not subject them to my career as much as possible. Now, they would come, they knew what I did. They'd come to the set, but that was just where mom worked. None of them watched Raymond because they were too young. They were, you know, I had four kids under the age of five when I was on Raymond.
Wow, that's
so,
right. Wow.
they were not watching the show. And then they didn't really watch the middle because they were all involved in high school or when it was going off to college. So it's not, you know, now they still find me embarrassing and annoying, but not because I'm on the TV show, just because I'm their mom.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
I felt like I just, as much as possible, keep my career sort of on the sidelines so that I am just their mom and that they can discover who they are without my career hanging over their head.
Well, if you're just waking up and tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Kendra Petrone, and we've been talking with Emmy Award-winning actress and best-selling author Patricia Heaton. She has been in our living rooms for nearly three decades as one of our favorite TV moms. And in her new book, Your Second Act, she shares the experience of many women. Your kids leave the nest, and you find yourself in an empty house with a lot more time on your hands. What do you do? Let's get back to our conversation. So let's talk about your geniusly titled book, Your Second Act. This book, honestly, it's the perfect match, I think, for all women and moms out there, because we tend to hide behind our kids, and then when they grow up, they move out. What's next for us? So tell us about the book. Why did you decide to share this chapter with us?
Well, the inspiration for the book was from my now canceled sitcom, Carol's Second Act, which lasted exactly one season. And, you know, the pandemic hit and everything's gone up in the air. But, you know, it's great that this book came out of it because the premise of the show was that, you know, Carol is divorced and she fulfills her lifelong dream of becoming a doctor by going back to medical school at the age of 50. And so I just thought, you know, what's a perfect way to explore people who've had to make a big pivot in their life for whatever reason, a lot of it because of financial circumstances, family issues, whatever. And so I have friends who have done this, and they're included in the book. And then we did some research and found other wonderfully inspiring stories. My friend, Yudi Bennett, here in Los Angeles, the TV producer. And when her son was diagnosed with autism, she created a studio to teach kids on the spectrum how to do video animation and for movies and TV and doing titles and cleanup and things like that. And, you know, she changed so many people's lives by doing that. She left her producing career and opened the studio. I mean, that is one of many stories in the book that's so inspiring. And by the way, you know, this book is to inspire you. It doesn't mean you have to go start a Fortune 500 company. It just shows you that, you know, different people have been able to take the lemons that have been handed to them in life and make lemonade. And they've, you know, had to just put one foot in front of the other. And, you know, instead of seeing failure as something negative, they've learned from their failures and have turned the failures into lessons and been able to move forward. So I think right now with the pandemic, a lot of people have lost their jobs, or there's other people that have had months to think about, like, gee, when everything opens up, do I really want to go back to what I was doing? I've got this new appreciation for my life, for my family, for my friends, and, you know, I want to change things, but I'm not sure how when we're able to get back out there. So this book is really there for you. There's some pages in the back of each chapter where you can take notes and write about what inspired you by these stories and what you related to in these stories. And I think we're in a stage now, the silver lining of the pandemic is that so many things are online, and there's classes, and there's Zoom, and there's ways to communicate with people. So if you're trying to explore what you want to do next, you can take classes online. You can listen to podcasts where, you know, while you're cleaning out the garage or baking sourdough, as everybody seemed to be doing this pandemic.
I know.
Put podcasts in the area that you're interested in and listen and learn from people. Also, volunteering is a great way to get out into the community and discover what your interest might be. Find a volunteer group that appeals to you and start doing that. Even if you end up not making that a permanent or prime part of your life, you'll meet new people, you'll be invested in your community. So there's lots of opportunities right now, even in the midst of a pandemic, to start making some changes.
Why do you think it's so hard for women to do that, you know, especially moms, to sort of get that drive to be something more than just mom, to get that individual identity away from standing sort of behind your children? Why is it so hard for us to do that?
Well, I don't know that I could have done some of the stuff I've done during raising kids. Raising kids is a hugely important job, and it's all-encompassing. And, you know, you have to understand what season you're in. And perhaps, especially when your children are little, they really need you. And that's your season to be a mom. But you're learning that whole time you're raising your kids. You're learning about yourself. You're learning about others. And I think that you consider that period a huge growth period, not just for your kids, but for you. So I think it's very difficult to juggle family and other things. It's doable. But I don't want anyone to think I'm not doing enough if their main focus is raising their children. That's the most important thing. But I think you can learn an awful lot and take that opportunity in those years to see where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, where you can improve. I mean, you can learn so much about yourself and can be really ready to launch as the kids become more independent. So I think we have to look at everything as opportunities for growth and learning.
What advice, in one sentence, would you have for all of the women that we have listening, moms or young women, anyone, career people, non-career people, anyone who's, you know, maybe in their 40s, 50s, or even 60s, worried about that, you know, this may be too late for them, anything that you could say to them right now, what would you say to them?
It's never too late. That's an old cliche phrase, but it's so true. It's never too late. You are going to determine what is the right time for you. Nobody else has a say in that. You know what I'm saying? So you determine what you can do and what's important to you. And you'll know in your heart, you know, the things that you stick with, that you come back to all the time, those are the things that are meaningful to you. And you have lots of time to, you know, to do what you want to do. I feel at the age of 62 right now, I am wiser and stronger and more resilient than I've ever been. It's a great time for me to try new things.
Is there anyone that you haven't worked with yet that you would like to once everything calms down and we can maybe get back to some sort of normalcy?
Well, I have huge admiration for so many actors. I think it's more, we've developed a slate of films over the years, my husband and I. And, you know, we had always been looking for outside financing, and we've kind of decided, you know what, we're not going to wait any longer. We need to make these things happen. So I think as opposed to are there people you want to work with, it's projects that we want to bring to life, and that's kind of what we're working on.
Anything you do, I will be watching. Anything that you're involved in, I will be watching. My mom is texting me now as I'm talking to you. Her name is Gina, and she loves you. And also because you were going through the same things as she was with young children, again, while we were watching Everybody Loves Raymond. So I think you had such a relatable personality for somebody even like my mom. And my mom was a teacher. And just watching that now myself as a mom, it means a lot to me. And you were such a special part of my family's life. And I know my mom is so excited that I'm talking to you today. And I cannot.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thanks, Gina. And I appreciate it. And, you know, sometimes as actors, we can think that our job is kind of silly. You know, we dress up in costumes and do goofy things. But it's really nice to hear from people who say, you know, my dad was sick, and the one time he laughed every week was watching Everybody Loves Raymond.
It's true.
The middle was our family time together, and we all our kids loved the show. So it's really nice to hear those things.
Well, you are such a treasure. I have been so excited to talk with you this morning. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Your book, Your Second Act, it's available everywhere. We're going to put a link up on our website so people can find it. Thank you so much, Patricia Heaton, for being on Exceptional Women today. We appreciate it. We love you here in Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to Patricia Heaton for being in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women. I'm Kendra Petroni, and along with my colleague Sue Tabb, we talk to celebrities and CEOs, but we also love talking with your neighbors, coworkers, and friends who are quietly making an impact in their communities. Go to magic1067.com and email us if you know someone you'd like to suggest. Follow us on Instagram at sue.tab and at Kendra the Entertainer. We love hearing from you. Be sure to join us every Sunday morning for another edition of Exceptional Women. Have a great day, everyone.
In the house.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.